Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
I hope you guys don't hear any Mickey Mouse cartoons in the background. It's Sunday night here in the Michelini household, and it's cartoon night. So I'm squeezing in to give you guys a little bit of intro for episode 128 of Global from Asia. So first, we have some exciting news to share on the business side. I'm going to be a new partner in EnterChina.co. It's a community of entrepreneurs that are taking their product ideas to launch with China manufacturing. So if you are working on building your own product in China and want to work with a group of supportive and hustling other entrepreneurs from around the world, check out EnterChina.co. And I also talk about it in my excitement on my personal blog at mikesblog.com. You can check it out in the show notes. Also, for those going to Dynamite Circle Barcelona, DC, BCN, I'm excited to share that I'm going to be hosting a meetup there. It's on Tuesday, June 21st from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And we will be sharing about Hong Kong business strategies. So if you're in the area, it would be really cool to catch up. We have the Eventbrite link for you to reserve on globalfromasia.com/episode128. All right. And now for this week's show, we have Danny McMillan, who is a speaker with me at the Global Sources Smart China Sourcing Summit last month. And we thought it'd be really cool to get him on the podcast and share about his experiences visiting these trade shows in China for the first time. He's been to Asia before, which he shares about, but this was the first time he has done it for business and sourcing and manufacturing. So he also has really amazing skills that he was sharing at the summit about PPC and Amazon and e-commerce. But today he's going to have some fun sharing stories and insights about how he came to the show and how he made it work. So he has some funny stories and he shares really openly. So let's listen in. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into another Global from Asia podcast. We have a fun one today. It's raining both where I am and on the other side of the world where Danny McMillan is. How's it over there in London?
The weather has been amazing the last few days. And today, it's been raining all day thus far. I've been up since 3 a.m. working and it's been raining since then. And it's forecasted to rain all day. But hopefully, we're going to get the sunshine back tomorrow.
Okay. So, Danny, we met at the Global Sources Smart China Sourcing Summit where we were both speakers and you had an amazing presentation about PPC for Amazon, which is probably amazing, is definitely amazing content. But today we thought we would do a little bit of a different angle of your first experience to China and Hong Kong and the sourcing. So before we get started, do you mind introducing everyone about you and your business?
Yeah, no problem. My name's Danny McMillan. I've been online going back to about 2007, 2008. So we only moved on to Amazon last year, but I've got a background in commerce and raising funding for startup companies and being the head of digital, where I developed my PPC and conversion optimization skills. And from the UK, I'm involved with the largest Amazon meetup group there. It's run by a guy and founded by a guy called Anthony. He's now based in LA. But we do monthly events where we co-host and give content to Amazon sellers in the UK, trying to develop the market there. And I've got a business partner, Steve, who's one of my closest friends. We're involved in a number of businesses together. Amazon is our first product-based business, and we both obviously came over to do some sourcing in Hong Kong and do the presentation and then zigzag between there and China. So, yeah, that's our story so far. The goal now is we want to get another 10 products out there between now and August, so we're ready for shipping over for Q4 to take advantage in the States there.
Amazing. Yeah, so there is a good reason. You're up at 3 a.m. That's a lot of work. So like, definitely respect your hustle. So yeah, I'm excited to talk about today. You know, like we were talking before we started recording that it's, you know, I've been out here for so long and others that I talk to. So, you know, it was your first time into Asia, right?
It's not my first time into Asia, but my first time sourcing.
Oh, okay. So, okay.
When I was a young whipper snapper, I was in the music industry, and I've DJed in Taipei. I came to Hong Kong 20 years ago for the MIDEM music conference here, where we had a stand. And where else have I been? I've played the Zouk Club in Singapore as well. So I've been to Hong Kong, but never experienced China before. That was my first time.
Great. And then your first time for sourcing for your business.
That's correct.
Got it. So maybe this question is a little bit different than I was expecting, but how long has it been since you've been over here? Maybe I basically kind of want to know your feeling when you came off the plane and what was it, what you were expecting?
No, to be honest with you, I got off the plane in China. One thing I wasn't expecting, I understand that we're very lucky that most countries speak another language and quite a few of them speak English, but not one person, not a soul spoke English. And that was one of the most difficult aspects, is trying to wave down taxis, even like at the airport. And that was the most difficult part of the experience. And then obviously arriving at our apartment, we actually went the route of Airbnb. So we're in the suburbs, and it's just that struggle, the first day, first morning arriving and adjustment of not being able to speak the language and communicate was quite tough, actually.
Got it. So then for me, it was like my first time. I just want to share a little bit, but I was really expecting like rice fields, dirt roads. And I flew into Hong Kong airport first. I didn't. So I don't think you went, that doesn't sound like Hong Kong airport to me. You went to Guangzhou?
We came in via China first, done a one day China, and then flipped over to Hong Kong and then back to China again.
Yeah, so you went to Shenzhen Airport, Guangzhou. Do you want to maybe share a little bit of your, you were in a jam-packed itinerary, I remember when we were talking.
I won't go into graphic detail. So basically, we flew out late on the Friday night, which we got to land Guangzhou on the Saturday evening. This is about the 15th of April, so just slightly before phase one. And then woke up Sunday, spent 2 hours trying to get a taxi to get over to do phase one at the Canton Fair. So that was quite a testing process. And then we done it there. And then on the Monday, we got a train and headed to Hong Kong. And then we met up with Peter and the Global Sources guy. And went to the meetup in the evening and met some of the other presenters, etc. And then on the Tuesday, I had the presentation on the same day as you. You were after me, weren't you? So I had to get up in the morning, do all the presentation for the slides and run through all that. And then arrange some drinks and dinner with Peter from Global Sources. And so we went out in the evening. Then Wednesday, we went out a little bit too late, and then on Wednesday we got up after 2 hours and went and had breakfast with Will Turland and a really lovely lady called QY. And so we went to the oldest tea room, and I sat there with a hangover and off of 2 hours sleep, and it was like a machine gun going. Will T is an amazing guy if you ever get to speak to him.
Yep.
Very, very knowledgeable. So, and then obviously straight from there, we went out to go sourcing. I think, where did we go? I think what happened, yes, that morning I remember, we made a mistake. We were meant to go to the Global Sources show. And by accident, we were pointed in the wrong direction and went to the HK TDC show, which was absolutely brilliant. Both shows were. So we ended up signing up for that and went into the first hall and found about 15 products we liked instantly. So completely blown away by that process. And then on the Thursday, we went over to Global Sources. Again, fantastic show. We went through all the floors there. We only needed to spend a day there because of our sourcing process made sense of that. And then what else did we do? Yeah, so that was the Thursday. And we then went out late night, an event in Hong Kong. It was the top of a tower. You can see the HSBC bank.
Cool.
From there.
Awesome.
Really beautiful place. But again, that was a 4 a.m. finish. But we thought, what stands out for me, that was the night when Prince died. And we just got back, we flipped on Purple Rain, and then we thought, do you know what? We've had a nightmare trying to get to and from both countries. and getting tickets for the trains. So we thought it'd be a really clever idea to travel at 4 o'clock in the morning and make our way to Hung Hom. Go the other route to go across to Shenzhen. I'll tell you a bit later. There's a story behind that. But basically, we were awake for 26 hours before we got any sleep. So we arrived back at our Airbnb where we previously had.
Amazing.
And we met our suppliers in the evening, had a nice meal. And then Saturday, what did we do Saturday? Ah, yeah, we went to phase two of the Canton Fair. Our supplier, our rep from who works with us at our supplier, were kindly said she would join us. She travelled 30 hours and she'd done some translations and just helped us out around the fair for the Saturday and Sunday. What else did we do? So we'd done 2 days there. Then we went to the West End and went to the Startup Bros party in the evening, which is a great event on the 42nd floor, and which is just off the pass there from the Canton Fair. And then on the Monday, which was our final day, which I thought was going to be a rest day, we actually found a product that we really liked. And so the factory sent us an Uber. And so we went from Guangzhou to Shenzhen and done a round trip. And basically looked to negotiate a deal, an exclusive platform deal on Amazon as a partner for them. So it wasn't a private label deal. And so we managed to do that, go and see the factory, which is a really good experience as well, break bread with the owner of the company and along with the sales team, and then exchanged information there and pre-agreed some light terms on exclusivity. And then we stayed at the airport that night and then flew home the next day. So quite a bit.
Yeah, it was exhausting.
It was exhausting, but it was definitely fun.
I could imagine. So definitely seems like you had a lot of things you had to do, and it seems like you mentioned some shows you had a plan, or for it seems like one you didn't even know you were going there. Did you look things up beforehand, or did you research before?
Yes, meticulously. The only problem is it all fell apart. So give me an example. I've got a VA. A month before we were heading out, we done all the research on the products. We set up like a money ball system, if you like, of going through all these different processes with our products, yeah? And then what we were doing was trying to use keywords to look up what stands at the event there was. Now, a lot of the products that we looked at prior was very difficult to find at any of the shows using keywords. So then I put him on to contacting the factories direct and asked them, are they attending the Canton Fair and these other events? And would you be interested in meeting? So the idea was to plan correctly. And so what transpires from that is that we get to the fair and it all kind of falls apart. But what comes out of it is we've gone through a system, yeah? So we're talking from looking through the lens of an Amazon seller, okay? And so what we're dealing with is we're looking using certain tools, using Amazon as an example, to go and find all these different products, which is the same lens that everyone else is looking through that don't visit the fairs, yeah? Mm-hmm. But when you get to the fairs, you realise is that there's so much more and the quality is a lot higher if you're not putting sets of data filters on everything. So you get to look around the fair and things will jump out at you. And so ideally you would go with a list, but we found so many amazing products that we want to do is that almost the list that we had, even though we didn't get to meet all the different companies and because a lot of them weren't at the fair, we found far superior products that weren't on Alibaba that's only just launched. And that gives you that competitive advantage that others don't have when they don't go and visit these places.
Got it. Yeah. It's so hard to, you know, it's kind of gotten to the point for me too where I try my best to plan, but I got to stay flexible within, if it was a trade show or a meeting or business in Asia. I think it's just evolving. And it seems like you did a pretty good job though. And when you met these suppliers at their booths, did you have some kind of pre-prepared questions that you wanted to ask them or get answers to?
Yes, we had actually had a bit of a system running, and it wasn't just the questions, it's how we logged and everything else. So me and my business partner, we'd go through the process. We was asking, one, is the product for sale on Amazon? Do they sell to sellers or they distribute and put it on Amazon? Two, are they on Alibaba? And three, what is their lead time? Now, I know they're very light and loose questions. And why that was happening, my partner was taking pictures of the stand, pictures of the brochures. We requested an e-brochure rather than dragging everything around with us. And we had pictures taken with the reps so that when we get back in contact, we can, you know, humanize there and put a, you know, a name to the business card and stuff like that. And so that system kind of worked quite well for us. So you ask yourself, well, why did you have that system? Well, we're going after products where we want to create some advantage. So if they're not selling on Amazon, we can look at maybe if it's not a, a PL product, we can look for an exclusive deal with them as a manufacturer. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Two, if they're not on Alibaba, then it makes sense for us because people that are researching the product future in the future won't necessarily have an easy route looking for the product. You know, another thing that played into that as well was if they're from different countries. You know, we met people from Vietnam and Korea and places like that. So we were doing that to look for competitive advantages. And obviously being over there, even if people are on Alibaba, a lot of these people don't update their profiles and their products and don't necessarily put their best foot forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it creates that next wave of advantages. So it was a fantastic trip for us. We walked away with about 50 products to break down, to review, to see if there's anything there that can fit our line and look to launch.
Crazy. It sounds, yeah, I mean, it's not on my list to ask, but, you know, getting back to the UK, going through that, it's definitely a lot of work too, right?
Yes, I've had to split it off with Marvin, my VA. Because the first couple of days, you're digitizing everything. Like, on reflection, the next time we go, which will be October, is we'll get Evernote and we'll run that. And we can tie everything together a lot neater. When you're dripping off images and business cards and stuff like that, it takes a long time to piece it all back together. So next time we'll use Evernote. We have a little Wi-Fi handheld device that we shared across our handsets anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we visit a stand that we like, we capture that information with the guys, you know, the front of the stand, the product, blah, 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 and then link that into Evernote as a group. So when you get back, you've got no digitization to take care of. And then now we've got a process that we run through now where we use Streak CRM, and we have a contact process and a follow-up process and price list, and because it's all got to be done in at scale and at bulk to do all the pricing and everything else, and then go into the next wave of negotiations once we know they fit our remit.
Okay, this is great. Thanks again, Danny. And so you kind of got into some of the stories, but you are saving them for later. So any fun stories? Or it seems like you pulled at least one all-nighter I got there or more.
Yes. I mean, there's a couple. Let's look at the Hong Kong to China and back again. So just a backstory. I tried to organize tickets from the UK to get our train tickets from going from phase one Canton to get us to Hong Kong on the Monday to make sure that we were there for the Tuesday to do the presentation, right? So we were only in China a couple of days, and most of that was down to travelling. So I tried to organise them from the UK, but you have to pick your tickets up in Hong Kong from Hong Hung, I think it is, station, in person. So even though they allowed you to buy the tickets, so we've got to go from Guangzhou East, remember, to Hong Hung.
Yeah.
If that's the right pronunciation.
Yeah, and, you're right.
And it's like, well, you can't do anything about it because you can't be in China and pick up your tickets in Hong Kong. So found out after a few hours, which was a bit of a pain. The next step, what we did was when we got there, another tip for everyone is that if you're working with a good supplier and they're happy with you, vice versa, and you're looking after each other, they're great for helping with things out on the ground. So our supplier were wonderful. They went and purchased tickets on our behalf.
Mm.
So we didn't have to worry about getting the train, okay? And then we get an email at the end of the day, just before we've got to go the following morning, to say that they have to be there in person to pick up the tickets. So cancel the tickets. Right, this is on the way out. So what we end up doing is we get up at the death of dawn and we fly down to the station. We leave our Airbnb. So we want to make sure we get any of these trains that come along, yeah, to take us from China to Hong Kong. And so we get there, buy the tickets, and we go and sit in a cafe. We're looking at this big line and thinking to ourselves, okay, the line's not going down. We didn't realise there was a line behind it. And we didn't realise there were two stages from memory to go through the, to show you part like passport control, etc. We made that train by 3 minutes. It was unbelievable. So word of warning, make sure that you you go straight through customs from the off. So that's the back part of the story. So this, which leads us to the point of when we went back to China, we thought it was a brilliant idea, even though we're half cut. We've been out till 4 a.m. with a lot of the Canton and Hong Kong crew having fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Packed up and we jumped in a taxi and we went to, what was it? We got a train down, I can't remember the exact station, but it took us to Lo Wu and to take us across the border. Right. So this is we're looking for 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. And if you were there, Michael, it was brilliant. So we're queuing up. OK. And this before the passport control would open, there's a little lady. She's got a chain and she's holding everyone back. Yeah. And there's a lot of like mature adults, we call like older generation Chinese people, Asian people. Yeah. And they've all a lot of them's got trainers on. And it looks like they're ready to run the marathon or do the sprint to go across the line. And me and Steve are looking at each other and we're going, what's going on here? We don't understand it. I mean, they're going to walk down to the walk down and do passport control, which is about, I think, about 100 yards away. And so this lady, she's holding on to this chain because we didn't realise this. But when I think it was a whistle that blew, she come running across so she didn't get trampled on or dragging him with the train, with a chain. All these people come steaming through and running to go to the passport area to show their passport and pass through. Me and Steve just scrolled down. By the time we got there was no queue. It was like, it was just crazy just watching this unfold, like loads of people with trainers on, the old people sprinting, you know, waddling along with their bags and stuff to cross the border. So that was quite an experience. And then we had to get the train to from Shenzhen to Guangdong, I think it was, and then a cab back from there. But it was quite a painful journey. We were like a couple of washed up Englishmen sitting on the train, you know, with our bags and stuff. So that was one of the most interesting stories. The other one, which happened in Hong Kong, was we was out with, you know, Chris Davey and his partner.
Yeah, yeah. He was on the show. He's great.
Yeah, yeah. So he's a good guy. And we met Connie for the first time. There was a few of us out, the Hong Kong crew. And again, early hours of the morning, I think this was the Tuesday, just after the event, which we'd done together. And we were sitting in the bar. It's near the Canton Road, which is where we were staying. Just off of there was a bar, and basically what happened, we're sitting there having a drink and a load of the army come in. It must have been about 8 guys.
I heard about this.
Hughes stands in the long line and then they look at us and they went passports. So we give them the passports. Connie went to speak to them and then they went to Connie, shh, and she wasn't very pleased about that. And they walked off of our passports, said, told us to keep quiet, checked them outside. Then they all come wandering back in, gave us our passports, and then just disappeared, which is pretty random. So they're the two. I mean, there's other stories I probably couldn't go into, but they're the safest ones for work stories.
Yeah, that was. I remember this. I met you the next day at lunch, and you were talking about that. That's something I haven't heard of, especially in Hong Kong, was having somebody take your passport.
Yeah, it was very odd, very odd. But we were good. You know, it wasn't like we were causing any trouble or rowdy or anything. We're just sitting in the corner in this bar, quietly having a drink and chatting amongst ourselves, you know?
That's interesting. Yeah, it's a little bit scary. I guess, but everything worked out, right? I mean, it was just a
gear. Oh, yeah, no, it was absolutely fine. It was just a bit bemused. You know, like, is this real? Is this kind of happening? Didn't expect it to happen. So.
Got it. So let's see, your visa, you know, I think some people always ask me about their visas. So you need one to get not to Hong Kong, but to get to mainland China. So how do you handle that?
Right. So you got two ways of doing it in the UK. We went and got a 2-year business visa. We took it the longer route, but we used an agency over here, which cost about an extra £45. I think it's £195 each. But there's a lot of paperwork there to complete. And because of the timing, I hand-delivered both our passports. So commuted in, done a 3-hour round trip, dropped it off, and that took about a week to come back. But it's definitely worth investing if you're planning on going on a regular basis, is to do the visas and get the 2-year ones. Because then obviously you can get to reuse them. I haven't got to go through that pain point of enlisting again and completing the application form.
Great. That's a good tip. Cool. And I mean, you seem to have amazing energy, but is there any tips for doing all this and keeping energized? Any kind of...
Yes. Yeah. Just try and... I eat quite well. I try and eat clean. And so I find that, you know, what you put in your body can be quite difficult. I mean, going to Asia aside, because we were out, you know, we were working hard in the day and having a bit of fun in the evening, I definitely would say generally for the long term is try and get some rest in, maybe do some meditation and have fun while you're doing it. Because, I mean, I've gone through stages where I've had lots of burnout because you use all your energy up. But it's a marathon rather than a sprint. So I definitely think that's a tip. The second tip, which I think everyone should take into consideration, one of the best parts of being on the trip was meeting lots of amazing people. And the only way you're going to meet amazing people is to go out and network and go to the events in the evening rather than sitting in your hotel room and your apartment. And you'll find a lot of people that, especially in the Amazon space, are great people, very nice, down to earth, and they're on the same wavelength. And you should get involved with all like the WeChat groups. And so I was involved in about 4 or 5. And you can crowdsource these groups for information. If you're stuck in either translation or you're not sure where to go, or you've got a question about this, that, and the other, you fire it off to the groups, and it's like a big family. So I'd definitely say that building your network and hanging out with amazing people helps energize you as well.
Great. Yeah, I'm trying to wonder how do we recommend... WeChat's a little bit of a... It definitely is necessary, but it's a little bit, I don't want to say difficult, but how would somebody know to get into these groups? I mean, I'm in them as well, but... I guess we could list it on the show notes somehow, but, you know, getting into these groups is definitely very helpful. But
I know the way these happen is that let's say you're out with someone or you're out a group of people and you meet them. You know, let's say Peter's meetup, for instance. You've got Peter's meetup, which is the global sources thing. When you're there, people are saying, oh, what are you doing tomorrow? Are you on WeChat? Oh, we've got a little group and we've got an event coming up, like Chris Davey example. We've done 2 meetups, didn't he? Phase 2 and phase 3. And so he created a group in that and he invited people in and then other people invite in. So it's a thread whereby you have to be out for a bit in order to get invited along. If you stay in your hotel room or your apartment, you won't get invited out because you're not actually meeting anyone, you know? So that's the best way is just when you get there is sign up for all the meetup groups, look on Reddit and Facebook groups and find out what's going on prior to leaving and just put that in your calendar and make a point of doing it and you won't regret it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So yeah, it's totally true. I think people are kind of, it's still kind of new with these events, like, you know, the Global Sources Summit was the first time they had done it, and I know Chris has done this Amazon meetup a few times, and we're going to have you at the Cross Border Summit next time in April. But yeah, these networking events are coming up, so it's great that more of these are coming out, and people should definitely be more active than just going to the show. And all right, so this is really, really good. How about any baijiu? Did you go off with suppliers drinking or dinners? Or, you know, I know you went to some networking.
Yeah, what we did is that Friday when we came back, that 26-hour, whatever it stint it was, traveling back, we crashed at the Airbnb, and then we got 4 or 5 hours, and we already made an appointment with our supplier. So they came down and met us. We went out for dinner. See, and we discussed, where we made the most of it is that we discussed our existing products and how to lean out the manufacturing and improve certain things. And we also looked at 16 other products that they had and discussed those as well with samples, which I brought back. So we try to really optimize our time as best as possible while we're there.
Great. All right. I know you're a busy guy and you got to go through a lot of these suppliers still. And how about you, Danny? I mean, you mentioned at the beginning, but can you share more people how they could connect with you and what you're doing?
Yeah, of course. I've got a website. It's DannyMcMillan.com, which is DannyMcMillan.com. On there gives you a bit of an update of what I'm up to and where I'm like doing speaker work at. And there's also some spreadsheets and stuff and freebies on there that I do to do giveaways. If people are in the UK, they should come to our Amazon meetup group. Just go to meetup.com, .com, and on there do a search for Amazon groups, and then come to one of our monthly events. It's free entry, and so you get to meet loads of other really great Amazon people on their journey, and obviously learn some stuff along the way.
Awesome. Thanks again, Dave, for coming on.
No worries.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Danny. That was a fun one, and I hope everybody enjoyed it. You know, he has the experience with Amazon e-commerce, but it was fun to hear his experiences coming on this side of the world and getting around, and that mixed up with the police and everything. It was kind of interesting, and he's a very interesting guy and has lots to share. So I'm also really excited to share that he's going to be agreed to speak at the Cross Border Summit in April 2017, our second event. So stay tuned for that epic event. We still haven't picked the exact date, but as always, it'll be in April. So mark your calendars, and I hope to see you there. That's it for this week's show. Again, the show notes are at globalfromasia.com/episode128. And next week we have logistics. So I know everybody's always talking about logistics. So I hope you enjoy. Have a great day.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.